Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Let me tell you something. This is officially hump day.
Yes, Wednesday.
I am off to San Diego tomorrow. It's like, I don't even know when this like pride tour will end. I'm hoping it'll end on Sunday with Melissa Etheridge singing. I'll have my little rainbow cape around me and I will fly on back to LA.
Yeah. Is this it? Are you done?
Just got an offer for San Francisco on the 19th.
Fantastic. But, that's not a pride night.
No, it's a Friday night, so I wouldn't have to, you know, I wouldn't have to disrupt my flow of my week. So,
good. What would you do? Sing?
I know I'm hosting the opening of a club space.
So, oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it was actually really, really sweet. And then oddly, it was one of those things where you text someone, someone's like, hey, you said it to text you when we open and we're opening. So who should we speak to? And I was like, here's my booker. Turns out they're old friends.
I love that.
They work together with other clients and she'd book with him before. Perfect. And so I don't know if that ever happens to you, but as an independent contractor, I don't love dealing with my own finances. Like if someone's like, hey, Michaela, we'd love for you to sing. Do you like talking money or would you prefer someone else?
Oh, no. I send it straight to my agent or manager. No way.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, especially money's an friendly. Uncomfortable thing. And you want to be like, I know my worth, but then you don't want to be like, I know my worth to the person, you know, that's fucking you. You have your agent do it.
My a good friend of mine said, you know, you just get your baseline, like, I can't rationalize leaving town for less than X.
Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, if there's additional work on that, you add that on. But yeah, it was actually very fascinating to kind of be in the space where I was like, okay, well, I could or couldn't, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And I reconnected. I don't know if you ever had this. Have you ever taken a friend gap? Meaning you kind of part ways with someone. Nothing dramatic happened. You just kind of lose touch for years. And then you get together.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's the best.
Yeah, we like had a little like... a little glass of wine in the afternoon, two glasses of wine, actually. And it was actually really fascinating to kind of see where someone has come in their life and see if they're different or if they're exactly the same.
You know? Yeah. Those are my favorite, though, because I feel like people assume that there's bad blood or you guys don't speak anymore. And you're like, I'm not. We were just in two different places.
And I agree. You can sometimes just grow apart. And that's okay. Like, I don't want to read somebody for being in a different place in their life. Maybe what they're up to no longer serves you. And you're like, I just don't want to be around that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And it's not no tea to them. It's just... not where you want to be around.
Well, speaking of reconnecting, I'm hoping to God Daddy Lisa comes back today, my girlfriend.
No, it's not for sure.
It's not for sure because she may need to finish a couple things. However, my dog is in a full depression.
Oh, which one?
Bruno, her favorite.
Oh.
He's
eyebrows, Bruno.
Yes, eyebrows, Bruno.
She's got a dog that has eyebrows. It's full, shocking.
Yeah, not even...
You'll have to post a picture on
Instagram. Like microbladed, like things that you would bring into your microbladed
baby.
He's
a black dog with a completely different set of colored, like their light colored brows.
Yeah.
It's very
funny. Looks great.
Yeah.
Well, he's in a depression. He's refused to eat or do anything for the past 2 days. So didn't even know your dog could have that kind of depression.
Yeah.
He's making me feel like a loser of a mother.
On a hunger strike until his mommy returns.
He's striking. They FaceTimed yesterday. I said, would you like to FaceTime me? She said, just put Bruno on the phone.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. Well, then Bruno can start paying rent. Just leave without me.
Hey, so coming up this hour, people who are playing coming up this hour, next hour, Sam Garrett Pay talking about all the politics. Oh my gosh, the Jeffrey Epstein case.
And breaking news
news about that. And then also we've got Plastic Tiara from RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm hosting an event with her tomorrow night, which, by the way, found out is whole under the sea kind of merman themed.
Love.
Guess who doesn't have an under the sea merman costume? This guy right here. So he's going to figure it out today.
Yeah.
Spend the entire day stoning something blue and transparent.
Come on, King Triton.
Yes, right. That's where I was going. I love that you just said that. Okay, that's confirmation.
He's a zaddy.
Yeah. All right, and then singer Grayson Chance is going to join us. You know him. He came up through the ranks. I guess Ellen kind of discovered him, and now he's an out pop star touring the world. He's going to have a chit-chat with us about his upcoming performance at San Diego Pride. But more importantly, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys, will Alex Acosta survive? There are more and more calls for Acosta, the U.S. Labor Secretary, to step down over his involvement in the 2008 plea deal for multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Acosta was a U.S. attorney in Miami when he signed off on Epstein's agreement, which many critics called too lenient. In the agreement, dubbed the deal of a lifetime by the Miami Herald, Epstein avoided federal prosecution on sex trafficking charges by pleading guilty to two state prostitution charges and serving just 13 months in prison. He also had to register as a sex offender. Now, Epstein, who was arrested over the weekend, may face similar charges. He pleaded not guilty, and if convicted, he faces up to 45 years in prison. Acosta defended how he handled the Epstein deal, saying the actions he took put Epstein in jail, forced him to register as a sex offender, and put the world on notice that he was a sexual predator. Now, President Trump defended his labor secretary, calling Acosta excellent and saying that a lot of people were involved in the Epstein plea deal, not just Acosta. We'll be discussing this and a lot more with our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate. So you'll want to keep it locked here on The Morning Beat for that. All right, guys, the trade war between the U.S. and China could hurt an unlikely victim, the Bible. Now, if the two countries can't hammer out a trade deal, President Trump has vowed to put tariffs on all Chinese goods coming into America. Book publishers warn those tariffs could cause the price of printing the Bible to soar and lead to potential shortages. Most U.S. publishers print the Bible in China to reduce costs. Now, HarperCollins Christian Publishing, a leading Bible publisher, has asked the administration to remove Bibles and other religious publications from the tariffs list. It's another reminder of the unintended consequences of the trade war, which has already badly hurt U.S. Farmers.
Can we make Bibles American again, I guess, Trump would say? Like, how is he outsourcing it? Like, is it the same factory that makes his ties?
I mean, listen, this is no tea, no shade to any Christians out there, but can we just rid the Bible altogether? I mean, we're listening to...
Can we do the digital? How about on our iPad, on your phone?
Can we just get new ideals? Like, we love God, we want to be good people, no judging, the end. I mean, there's so many old things that are in the Bible.
I know, but yeah, you know what's fascinating to me? That we outsource where it gets made. And under this administration, it's only laughable only because he was always like, we need to bring more jobs back home. So that's why I'm finding a little chuckle in there.
Well, of course, but that was always the joke with like his MAGA hats, like everything. Like, it's all make America great again.
And made in China.
We love God, and then it's all made in China.
Oh, bless him.
Mess. All right, you guys. Well, we want to remind you that you can see Robin at the Forum in Los Angeles. You can win tickets. Just head on over to wearechannelq.com because you don't want to miss seeing Robin in concert. She's amazing. Now, coming up, India Moore held nothing back at Essence Fest. Find out why next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I can't believe that Beyonce Knowles barely does press, but last night attended the premiere for Lion King and simultaneously dropped a new single from her upcoming Lion King, you know, album thing.
Literally, that's exactly how she does it. But I love how she does it. You know, she's kind of become relatable, but also stays so mysterious. I mean, the Lemonade album, like, we got everything that we wanted.
Yeah.
But then you're still like, but what does she do? Is Beyonce always Beyonce?
The longest I've heard her speak was watching her Netflix special, the behind the scenes of the Coachella show that she did.
1,000%. And then she did do the GLAAD Awards this year, which was nice to see her because she doesn't usually attend or speak at awards anymore, I feel like. But
she was being given an award, I think. Or she was giving an award to Jay or something, I think.
No, I think she was receiving the award.
Receiving an award, yeah. Wonderful. Anyway, well, you know, speaking of people who are at the GLAAD Awards, India Moore always is a fixture. You know her from being Angel on the hit FX series Pose. India identifies as they, them. She is non-binary, and she, the, her, their pronouns went from she to them, to they, them. And recently, they were asked to speak at the Essence Festival, which celebrates African-American. Usually, African-American women are on the panels, and it's really kind of like the magazine's extension of their magazine in sort of convention form. And they have dynamic speakers and all that stuff. Well, India wasted no time to let the audience, you know, kind of talk about issues that I'm sure are not spoken about quite as often at these kind of festivals. Have a listen to how they described homophobia, and then let's just unpack that for a second after we hear the audio.
Combating homophobia and transphobia is about more than just safety for us. It's for safety for all of us. Because homophobia affects everybody, right? It affects y'all too. Black men can't openly experience their emotions without being shamed, right? Right? I mean, like, do you remember when you was younger and the first time that you cried? The first insult that a lot of young black boys get is, why you acting like a girl, right? And I mean, like, my question to you is, what are we teaching each other about women if we're shaming each other for experiencing emotions through comparing young boys to women, right?
I thought that was a really good point.
So powerful. That's not even just in the black community.
It's
that's
in
life. I remember my cousins, when they were little, if they started to cry, they got made fun of acting like a girl.
A girl. Yeah. Because a girl is an insult.
Yeah.
What's that Madonna song when she's like, you don't, if I dress like a girl because you think being a girl isn't blah, 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 blah. It's like the idea of being a woman is less than. I mean, it goes all the way down to even what's happening with the soccer team, you know?
Yeah.
U.S. world champions and got the World Cup and ain't getting paid close to the men.
Well, even Serena Williams, she has to pay a $10,000 fine for destroying a little bit of Wimbledon. And she said, it's just so funny to me that when a woman shows any kind of emotion, it's not seen as passion. It's seen as like instability.
It's a crazy double standard. I mean, listen, the Essence Fest itself has faced criticism in the recent years for failing to include black trans public figures. I mean, think about it. They were notable people like Laverne Cox, Janet Mock, who's an incredible journalist who now is a writer and a producer and director of Pose. And, you know, Angelica Ross, we talked about. I mean, so last year, there's this pop critic called Sylvia O'Bell wrote about how the event was failing to be a safe space for all black people. But this year, friend to the show, Ashley Marie Preston, we love her, the strong black trans activist, got to introduce, of all people, Elizabeth Warren.
So interesting.
That's huge.
Because you would think before anybody, it'd be like Kamala Harris, Cory Booker.
No, Elizabeth Warren wanted to be in the trenches, and she's one of the first people that, you know, remember we had Ashley on, and we quizzed her about where she was leaning in terms of backing who for presidential candidate. Listen to how she introduced Elizabeth Warren at the Essence Fest. This really was, this was good.
So I'm excited to be here today because if you would have checked in with me 5 years ago, I never would have thought that I would have had any interest in politics. But because of the way we were being treated as black people and because of the way we were being treated as LGBTQ people, we had to learn to reevaluate what it is that we deserve. So for those of you who may not know what it is that you deserve, I'm going to tell you that we deserve an opportunity to flourish in black excellence.
Yes.
We deserve an opportunity to have a president who is going to fight for criminal justice reform and hold law enforcement accountable at a time where innocent black men and women are being murdered in cold blood. We deserve a president who is willing to fight to save the lives of black trans women. And we deserve a president who is going to change the system in a way that works for everyone. That person is Elizabeth Warren, and America is voting for Elizabeth Warren in 2020. And she is the next president of the United States. Please join me in giving a warm welcome for Elizabeth Warren.
Let me say something. I'm just blown away. Here's why. I've been asked, and I'm sure as you have too, years ago, maybe to sing at an all-black event, right? Yeah, and you walk up, and they're very judgmental. They're like, first of all, you will never understand our struggle.
It's like anyone walking into any, it's like me walking into a lesbian bar. They're like, what are you doing here? Until I prove myself.
Yeah, and that's not anything against the black community. Yeah. They've been through so much, of course, and so they're looking at you like, girl, get out of here. Like, you don't know what you're doing. The fact that they're so open to Elizabeth Warren is incredible. And the fact that they're open to her for being so forward with her, with trans rights, with LGBTQ rights.
With prison reform, which is a big issue facing the black community. You know, when you talk about people being incarcerated for the same crimes, if you happen to be a person of color or a black person, you will get a heavier sentence systematically. It's just been the way it is. And it's for the same exact crime. And so we need to sort of change that whole thing. And having someone like, I'm sure Elizabeth Warren got to pick who introduced her.
Right.
I'm sure that was her choice. You know, hey, I'm going to get booked to speak here. Wonderful. I'd like Ashley Marie Preston, who's a black trans woman, to introduce me. Whoa.
Hello. Listen, I would say the same thing.
Because
yes.
The Essence Fest had a lack of inclusion when it came to trans folks.
Well, you know, if you I follow a lot of different social medias, yeah. And it's always been that way. The black community in particular have never been super fond of LGBTQ or I think
it's
trans,
a religious base. Because it's the same thing for Latin, my family as well.
Yeah.
Anything that's evangelical based tends to give some pushback.
And that's totally what it is. And it's never been, you know, a secret. They just don't, they've never been supported. You know, black trans women are the highest women that are, highest people that are killed in the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And so if we could just.
And also
get,
killed and like no repercussions for the murderer.
No repercussions.
It's like it happens so frequently now. And so when Ashley Marie said, we deserve a president who will stand up for, you know, for these acts of violence against black trans women, you're right. Like, what do you think? Trump is never going to say those words. He's never going to say, I'm going to stand up and make sure that, you know, this alarming rate of black trans women being murdered will, you know, go down. We're not going to stand for that. No.
Does it change your opinion now who you're rooting for?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my front runners are Kamala and Elizabeth Warren, specifically because both have mentioned having an actual plan to target things. And while some of the ideologies of the other candidates are great, and I like their sound bites, those sound bites mean nothing until you have a plan. And so a lot of people get elected into office by wooing their constituents and the people that are listening by saying, I'm going to do this for you. And if they say it just the right way, you believe it.
Look at Trump.
Then they get in office and they don't have a plan.
Trump literally said, I'm going to build a wall.
Yeah.
But and they're going to pay for
it. And so his base, for the small amount of I think, fencing or walling he has built, they focus on that. And in some ways for them, they're like, he did it. He got us a justice appointed to the Supreme Court with Brett Kavanaugh, who is a conservative. He did something for us. And so in their mind, he's doing nothing but fulfilling campaign promises for them. And that's why they're so loyal to him.
Yeah.
But you're right. Well, listen, Essence Fest, kudos on you guys for having more inclusion this year. And to India and Ashley, thank you for being these beacons of light and sharing the messaging of inclusion to all people that attended that event. I'm really proud of those.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, well, coming up, the 1 million moms are back and they're coming for a popular kids franchise.
Not 1 million moms with 2,000 members.
First of all, that's the real tea, honey. That's what we're really diving into. Find out next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So there's this pathetic group of mothers.
Yeah.
Called 1 million moms who are notoriously anti-LGBTQ. And they're really, really upset about Toy Story 4
over
a small moment that many viewers probably missed. In the background of a scene involving a first day of kindergarten for the film's main child, Bonnie, two women drop off a girl at school. Later in the movie, those women pick up the girl and they give her a hug. The moms are saying the scene is subtle in order to desensitize children, but it is obvious that the child has two mothers and they are parenting together. So they basically think this is dangerous and subtle but obvious promotion for the LGBTQ lifestyle. Yes, it is. Yes, it
honestly,
is. And actually, I'm sad it's so subtle.
Yeah, well, first of all, how stupid can you be? Like, first of all, the 1 million moms are 2,000 moms.
They don't have a million members.
There's not even close. Yeah. Not even on Facebook. It's literally 2,000 people.
By the way, I don't know if you remember, but they also tried to boycott and get Ellen, the talk show host, Ellen's show, her talk show, off the air.
Yeah, but that's like saying when they rally up to have their weird million moms meetings that they're having like a huge orgy. Like, that's the stretch of them saying moms are hugging at Toy Story.
Here's what honestly makes me so like disgusted by these terrible humans. They say Disney has decided once again to be politically correct versus providing family-friendly entertainment. Let me tell you something, millions of moms. Families come in all shapes and sizes. A mother and a father and a child or children is not the only form of a family. And if you believe so, you might want to change the dial, because here at Channel Q, we celebrate diversity, and this is an LGBTQ plus station. So family to us may look very different than what the millions of moms sadly and in a very dated, bigoted way represent. Anything else?
No, honestly, I think you just nailed it. Is there anything else to say? Did you have any?
Listen,
you're feeling very inspired today.
Here's my thing. I don't want children, but if I ever did, I would love to go to school and go head to head with these mothers.
Well, I'm going to. Because me and Lisa are going to have children.
We have generations and generations of kids who've been raised by same-sex parents who end up being very vital and thriving members of our communities all over the world. So I don't want to hear it from these mothers. They need to really settle down. And there's some expletives that I'd love to share with them over a nice, perhaps, box of Pinot Grigio. I feel like that's how I could really get my message across to them.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to apply for 1 million moms.
Yeah.
Me and Lisa. We'll You'll just be like, you know what? We're moms too.
Mom number 3046.
Yeah. Moms stick together. Got it? Hate the gays. Me and my wife, we hate them. Me and my wife and my probably homosexual kids hate them too.
All right. Next hour, we've got Sam Garrett-Pate, who's going to be joining us, by the way. And don't forget, later in the show, we've got Plastique Tiara and pop star and LGBTQ member himself, Grayson Chance, is going to be on chatting with us. I've never spoken to him. Have you met this kid?
No, I did meet Grayson Chance at Coachella House.
Oh, he was inside the house?
No, he did our booth. He was with Channel Q.
I didn't talk to him, so I missed that interview. You did it with who?
I didn't do the interview. Oh. Ryan did the interview, and so I was sitting there.
So you got to say hello, though.
Yeah, of course. I said hello. Thank you for coming on Channel Q.
I didn't get to meet him.
Yeah, he's a good friend of Let's Go There.
Nice.
Yeah, with Sharon Ryan. So we'll be talking to him later in the hour. But first, a popular actor and singer has turned his attention to addressing the homeless crisis in a very unique way. What is it and who is it? We'll tell you next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So, you know, I was just watching the red carpet photos from last night's Lion King, and, you know, Beyonce brought Blue Ivy with her, which I think is great, because now Blue Ivy's of an age. I mean, she looks like she's like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Now, maybe even 9. I don't even know.
Yeah, I think she's 7.
Yeah.
But could you imagine Beyonce being your mother?
No.
Like, Beyonce is the world's mother, and then she's also your personal mother.
Yeah.
But she, like we were talking about during the break, looks nothing like Beyonce.
Do you think she disciplines her daughter, Blue Ivy, the way she drops albums? Like, she just, like, leaves her messages with no warning. She doesn't speak to her the entire time at dinner, and then, like, you know, Blue Ivy goes to crawl into bed, and there's a note from her mother.
Is there a new song called Grounded?
It's a new song called Grounded, and that's how Blue Ivy learns that she's grounded.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Will Smith has got two exceptional kids, Willow, who I love, on Roundtable Talk with her mother and her grandmother. But Jaden Smith also makes quite a bit of headlines for just kind of being out there. He's one of those kids who does the Coachella circuit, right? He's a performer in his own right, and he's actually going to be going on tour with Tyler, the Creator. Which, didn't he say Tyler, the Creator, was his boyfriend?
And he never took it back.
Never took it back. Well, they're going on the road together. But more importantly, he's a philanthropist, and he's launching a pop-up food truck filled with lots of love and vegan food to serve homeless people living on Skid Row in downtown L.A. It's called I Love You Restaurant.
Listen, this is the best idea that anybody has done, because I think people want to help feed the homeless, but I think that that means also most of the time it's very cheap food. It's usually a lot of processed food. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine giving these homeless people healthy nourishment, food that's going to make them feel better. I mean, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
And expensive.
And I think this is, you know, when you see there's a need, I think each and every one of us figure out how we can step up. And when you come from so much privilege, and your family is this, you know, they're basically a Hollywood dynasty, the Smiths, you know, and they have more money than I'm sure they know what to do with. And to see him channeling it in such a positive way, I actually got to admit, I was a little surprised.
Yeah. I think that family does a really great job of being honest, being vulnerable, helping people emotionally, mentally. Jada, her mother and Willow have had so many conversations and have given a lot of different celebrities a different kind of platform to get very real and very honest. Yeah. And even like with Jordan Woods, when all that went down with the Kardashians.
Oh, that was a great interview.
Yeah, she was like, come on my show. We're not going to let people bully you. Here's at least a fair chance to talk about another family that's like a dynasty family.
Yeah.
And so for him to be feeding the homeless and doing it in a way that they feel appreciated and loved.
And it doesn't seem, you know, when people go, you know, we always talk about this, me and my friends, because, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's when people think to feed the homeless. What about the rest of the year?
Yeah.
And so my friend Jarek is part of this organization, and then once a month they basically spend their Sundays, instead of Sunday fun day, they pack these lunches and they go and they feed the homeless and they give them, you know, just a couple of basic supplies, toothbrush, toothpaste, and, you know, some food and just basically necessities to remind them, you know, and just have a conversation with them. They get forgotten about. They turn into zombies because people don't want to speak to them. They ignore them.
Yeah, it's so weird. I was driving here to work this morning and I was just like still trying to wake up and shaking it off, you know, in the morning, how you do. And I looked over and I saw this homeless man with all of his sleeping blankets and trying to like get himself cozy. And you're like, girl, put everything into perspective. There's so many, and the homeless percentage has gone up so much, especially here in LA. It's crazy.
What people make for a living isn't enough to make rent oftentimes. And if you fall behind even just a month or two, it's like suddenly everything starts to spiral out of control. And they say within the first week, there's a succession. A friend of mine was telling me he works exclusively with homeless folks. And he was saying, you know, within the first couple days, you become dehydrated because you try to stay up because you're scared to sleep outside. And then after that, I mean, within the first week or two, I think you have a very strong chance of getting raped. Within the first month, you've definitely been offered some kind of drugs and you're very likely to take them. And then after a while, people stop speaking to you. People literally won't speak to you. Yeah. They won't acknowledge you. You know, you'll ask them for money or just say hello. Homeless people visually get ignored. And imagine what that does to the human brain.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't make contact. Well, you know, I got to say, little Jaden Smith, good on you. And I think more people need to do this. You know, what a great venture. A little food truck that looks like something we'd have outside our building here. Chic food truck feeding people healthy food.
Yeah, it's easy to do. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it is Woke Wednesdays. We will be joined in the next hour with Samuel Garrett Pate breaking down Jeff Epstein. There is a new story that has come out early this morning. It is so juicy and you won't want to miss it. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Have you ever said something that you did not anticipate? It was about someone else and you clicked on reply all, not realizing they were on the thread, or texted the wrong person. And have you said something about someone and they found out?
Yeah, 1,000%. I screenshotted something and I meant to send it to my sister-in-law.
Stop
and
it.
I sent it to the girl.
Stop
that
it.
I screenshotted it with. Yeah, I did. I did. And honestly, when you're in that position, there's nothing you can do. You cannot lie.
No, you can't. You're caught.
And she was like, did you mean to send this to me? And I said, nope, I didn't. But now that you've seen it, surprise.
Well, the UK ambassador to the US did something very similar, and we'll go into detail about that with Samuel Garrett Pate later this hour. What do you have planned for the week?
Well, if all things go well, Lisa's coming home to me today, and we're going to be able to spend some serious alone time. It's been 10 days since she's been gone,
I'm shocked, this
is my first weekend that I'm going to be with her, that I don't have to race around like a maniac.
Yeah.
So I know we want to go to the beach.
Do we know for sure she's coming home today?
We do not know for sure.
When did she say she's going to give you an answer about this?
Here's the thing about Lisa. Lisa is an angel, and Lisa's had a lot on her plate. So she says to me, here's what she always says. There's a 90% chance that I'm going to come home Wednesday, but there is a 10% because she knows if she gives me 100% chance to come home, we're getting into a fight.
Sure, of course.
Immediately.
Right.
But I have learned a few things this weekend without her, this 2 weeks without her.
Yeah. One is?
I am so incapable of taking care of myself.
Okay, two.
I'm actually way more irresponsible than I thought.
Three.
I don't know how I'm going to have children without her.
Okay.
The dogs are all depressed.
Got it.
If my dog could get his paws to play Celine Dion's All By Myself with a glass of wine, he would.
And number four?
Even if she ever decided to break up with me, I would stalk her so hard and not let her leave me. Even if she quit loving me, we're never breaking up.
Got it.
Sounds rational.
That sounds very lesbian. All right, so it's time for some news on the beat. Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
Okay, guys. Well, our listeners in New York City on 92... I don't know why that tickled me. Our listeners in New York City on 92.3 HD3 might want to make their way to Broadway as the U.S. Women's National Team's Victory Tour will continue with a ticker tape parade in New York City this morning. The ticker tape parade started at 9:30 a.m. from Battery Park and heads north along Broadway to City Hall, according to the mayor's office. The mayor is also scheduled to honor the team at City Hall. Now, the women's team will be regaled in the same fashion as other heroes and winners, such as Nelson Mandela in 1990, the 1969 World Series champion Mets, and the New York Giants team that captured Super Bowl in 2008. And according to the Alliance for Downtown New York, a commercial advocacy, research, and information group, now the soccer team won its second consecutive FIFA Women's World Cup when it beat the Netherlands 2-0 on Sunday during the match in France. Megan Rapinoe scored a... That was right. Okay, thank you, because I got a lot of DMs yesterday. People were very impressed with the way I was able to mess that up 48 times. We finally got it right. Megan Rapinoe scored a penalty goal in the second half, giving the team a 1-0 lead, and Rose Lavelle added a second score with a shot in the 69th minute. Also, shout out to Ashlyn Harris. If you do slip into my DMs and Lisa never comes home to me, I will eventually be available when I get over that heartache, and I love you. Goodbye. Moving on, will Alex Acosta survive? There are more and more calls for Acosta, the U.S. Labor Secretary, to step down over his involvement in the 2008 plea deal for multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Acosta was a U.S. attorney in Miami when he signed off on Epstein's agreement, which many critics called too lenient. In the agreement, dubbed the deal of a lifetime by the Miami Herald, Epstein avoided federal prosecution on sex trafficking charges by pleading guilty to two state prostitution charges and serving just 13 months in prison. He also had to register as a sex offender. Now, Epstein, who was arrested over the weekend, now faces similar charges. He's pleaded not guilty. If convicted, he faces up to 45 years in prison. Now, Acosta defended how he handled the Epstein deal, saying the actions he took put Epstein in jail, forced him to register as a sex offender, and put the world on notice that he was a sexual predator. President Trump defended his labor secretary, calling Acosta excellent and saying that a lot of people were involved in the Epstein plea deal, not just Acosta. We'll be discussing this and a lot more with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. So you'll want to keep it locked here on The Morning Beat for that. All right, guys. Drag Race UK is ramping up the excitement for its debut later this year with the announcement of more guest judges. Amazing Spider-Man star Andrew Garfield and chewing gum creator Michaela Cole will appear as guest judges on RuPaul's Drag Race UK. The pair were announced as guest judges ahead of the launch of the British drag reality spinoff, which is set to make its debut on BBC Three in September. Now, Garfield has previously showcased his own lip sync skills alongside Drag Race queens on the 2017 Work the World tour, channeling Whitney Houston for a guest performance. Now, others confirmed guest judges include Game of Thrones star Macy Williams, Jerry Horner of the Spice Girls, and Jade Thirlwall of Little Mix, while Graham Norton and Alan Carr will serve as judging panel regulars across the 8-part series. All right, guys, we just want to remind you that if you want to see your girl Robin here in Los Angeles at the Forum, head on over to wearechannelq.com. Now, coming up, it is Woke Wednesdays, and we have our political expert Samuel Garrett Pate breaking down Trump's tweeting and how he can no longer block people, but we can still block him. So stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I got to tell you, for a second, I got excited. I was like, thunder and lightning? Are we having weather in Los Angeles?
I don't know. There's been some June gloom. Even when I come out of the studio sometimes, it feels like it's been a little dark.
July cloud eye.
Because we're in July cloud eye.
Yes, sorry. I don't know. I don't know how to make that one work. All right. Well, it is Woke Wednesdays. Welcome to the show, Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California. He is with us now. Welcome back, Sam.
Good morning. I'm here for the July cloud eye.
That's right. All right. So listen, let's talk about Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women's soccer team, they obviously got a hero's return from being overseas and winning the World Cup. They also got this big sort of parade. You want to talk to us a little bit about what's going on today with them?
Yeah, so they're currently making their way down the, what is dubbed the Canyon of Heroes in Manhattan, renamed for today the Canyon of Sheroes. In the first, what's called a ticker tape parade, that's when people from all the skyscrapers like throw confetti down and it's like being in a snowstorm. They're getting this giant welcome. They're going to get the keys to the city. They're like currently making their way down right now. You know, millions of little girls or boys are either there or watching on TV. And it's just such an inspiring moment to see this team bring out so much joy and happiness, especially in a time that like we can kind of
I didn't
like
know, and Michaela kind of shed a light on this when she was saying she was actually with a group of girls watching this. I didn't realize how universally loved this specific team is.
You know what's so funny? There, one of my dear friends who's a pop singer, she's a lesbian, she was in New York and she said, I got so mad because I was in a Foot Locker and there was this white man, older white man, and he was so angry. And he was angry because they didn't have the women's soccer jersey in his size.
Oh.
And it is. That's where we're at. Hey. For women, they are loved right now. I'm following their Instagrams. I think they've popped 78 million bottles of champagne.
Yeah.
They're crying. They're hugging each other.
Well, even before they won the championship, Nike came out and said that their the home jersey for the U.S. women's national team was the number one selling soccer jersey in Nike history of any team, men's or women's, in a single season. I mean, this team, I mean, our men's team doesn't really do anything. They lost to Mexico in like they didn't even make it into the World Cup. And then in the sort of number two cup, they lost to Mexico.
Wow.
On the same day that the U.S. women's national team won the World Cup for the fourth time overall, which is a record, and second time in a row. I think that's why they inspire so much hope and confidence and, you know, excite young kids, boys and girls.
Well, and you're the underdog. People love the underdog. And women aren't wives anymore. They're athletes.
And for our community in particular, to see, you know, Megan Rapinoe and like, to see these out, not just women, but LGBT women, like out lesbian athletes dominating and leading their teams, I mean, is just huge.
Yeah, and you know, she did make some comments about, I think they were asking, would you go to the White House if you're invited? She's like, we're not going to be invited.
She said, we're not going to go to that bleep.
Yes, that's White House. Yeah. And then Trump said, well, of course, no. I don't know what they're talking about. We'd love to have him.
He said, win first. She should go out and win first.
Right.
And win she did.
And so she was on Anderson Cooper's show, I believe it was last night.
Yes.
And he asked her, what would her message be to Trump? So have a listen to how she tackled this question.
Message to the president. I think that I would say that your message is excluding people. You're excluding me. You're excluding people that look like me. You're excluding people of color. You're excluding, you know, Americans that that maybe support you. I think that we need to have a reckoning with the message that you have and what you're saying about Make America Great Again. I think that you're harking back to an era that was not great for everyone. It might have been great for a few people, and maybe America is great for a few people right now, but it's not great for enough Americans in this world. And I think that we have a responsibility, each and every one of us. You have an incredible responsibility as, you know, the chief of this country, to take care of every single person, and you need to do better for everyone.
Yeah, and so I think one of the best things about this is that she handled that, I thought, beautifully. What'd you think about her answer?
It's such a nonpartisan message, right? It's not, she didn't stoop to his level of name calling
message
and, you know, she tackled it in a way that I think most Americans who aren't particularly political think about this president, which is just that, like, they don't feel that he's representing them. They don't feel that he's representing their values. And the contrast, I think, between the two of them is so great that she really has an opportunity and a platform to bring people together, to unify people, something that I think most Americans have been sort of yearning for in recent years.
Well,
right?
Speaking of someone who that Michaela loves and who's also representing the president, Kellyanne Conway is making headlines.
A real unifier.
Yeah, she's one of Michaela's favorite people.
Yeah. She has a single. It's called The Pun and Blues.
Tell them the story quickly.
When she tried to call out AOC for being, 29 and not really doing anything.
And then
cut to her at 29 drunk in this curious bar, she said, I have the pun.
It was called The Pundit Blues, and it was Kellyanne Conway singing. Find out why Kellyanne Conway is making headlines when we come back from the break.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I've got the Pundit Blues.
Oh boy.
I've got the Pundit Blues.
That is Kellyanne Conway singing at age 29 in some basement doing some event. And, Kellyanne Conway. But she's making news for other reasons right now. Samuel Garrett, Pay for Me Quota California, will tell us why. What's up, Sam?
Yeah, so this all goes back to an interview that Speaker Pelosi did where she was critical, without calling them out by name, but was a bit critical of freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib for their opposition to the Democratic version of the border aid package. Mm-hmm. Basically saying that, you know what, like at the end of the day, they have their public support, but they weren't able to get any of their colleagues to vote no with them. And so there were only four votes, you know, anyway. So there's been a bit of a back and forth between Speaker Pelosi and these freshman members of Congress. So Kellyanne Conway took that as an opportunity to insert herself into the situation. Shocker.
Okay.
Going on Fox News and calling it a major meow moment. Because, you know, it doesn't really get any more sexist than that. And then doubled down by tweeting about it, calling it. Tweeting major meow mashup with Speaker Pelosi brushing back against freshmen. Anyway, so that was Kellyanne Conway's tweet.
Sure.
So Ayanna Pressley has the best clapback possible, tweeting back at her.
And she is a
freshman congresswoman from Massachusetts.
Mass, got it.
Who Kellyanne Conway tagged
Don't
in her poll.
Don't mess with the East Coast ladies.
Ayanna Pressley tweets back. At Kellyanne Polls, oh, hi, Distraction Becky. Remember that time your boss tore babies from their mother's arms and threw them in cages? Yeah, take a seat and keep my name out of your lying mouth.
First of all, Distraction Becky is about to be my new favorite thing to say.
Yeah.
The clapback is so real, but I feel like we're talking about this during break. Has politics ever been like this? Like, it's a little bit catty. I know they're also trying to stand up for themselves. Twitter wasn't always around, but do you think it's getting to be a little much?
I think, yes. I mean, this is not like where we were a few years ago, but at the same time, for a senior advisor to the president to go on television and call a public disagreement between the Speaker of the House, right? Second in line to presidency. The Speaker of the House and some freshman members of her caucus to go on TV and call that a major meow moment.
Oof.
And then double down by tweeting it as a major what?
Yeah.
Well,
what?
I mean, this is not even the only thing that's really being discussed about people getting in trouble via Twitter. The ambassador, the UK, the one who is from the UK, he's our ambassador essentially for the US, right?
He's the ambassador from the UK to the United States, yes.
And he, it was found out that there was some things he had said about the administration, the president specifically.
Yeah, in diplomatic cables that they typically send back to their government.
Cables were leaked.
Yep.
And he said some things about Donald Trump that Trump did not like.
Shocker.
And
isn't it a shocker that he would relay to his government that there was dysfunction in this White House? I mean, I can't even believe it.
Well, then Trump decided he'd take to Twitter also.
I can't.
So that's what him and Kellyanne Conway have in common.
Yeah, they use Twitter to say crazy stuff.
I just constantly feel like it's a reality show, but particularly with Trump. I mean, he's offended so many people. I mean, now he's under fire because he can't block people anymore because he has to say things that people need to be able to see because they're newsworthy. But
speaking to your point about this being the new normal, Michaela, like this would never have happened before, right? The the ambassador from another country sends cables back to their government, which our ambassadors do all the time, right? Relaying their sort of take on what's going on inside the White House. Those cables leak. That's unfortunate, right? For him. The president goes on Twitter and feels the need to, like, call him lame and a loser and, like, a not very smart guy. I mean, just, like, all this. Like,
literally said, you're a stupid guy.
Right. It's like responding to, not responding to the prime minister of Britain or even to the, you know, foreign minister, but just to an ambassador to his country. So he goes on, tweets all this stuff. Then the prime minister has to come out and defend the ambassador. So does the foreign minister. And then it's this whole back and forth. And finally, the ambassador is like, I don't need this in my life. And just resigns. In a normal administration, like let's take the Obama administration or even the Bush administration, right? If it leaked that an ambassador had said disparaging things about the president wouldn't feel the need to go out and like get in a public spat with them.
I do love that he called him inept and clumsy.
Yeah.
I mean, in his accent from the UK.
Right. Because the president is inept and clumsy. But beyond the point, like, the president doesn't need to respond to that. The president should go to his staff and be like, yeah, I want him gone.
Yeah.
Sure. And then the staff calls over to the State Department and says, please communicate to the British government that we want him gone. Right? Like, all of this would happen behind closed doors. He would resign. It would be over. But this president feels the need to punch down it. Like, we were talking in the break about how the next thing you know, some 12-year-old's going to go on Twitter and be like, I don't like the president. And he's going to tweet back at the 12-year-old like, well, you're lame and dumb, and I hope you fail the fourth grade. Like, who does
well,
this?
Well, I feel like, though, that's where his base loves him most. It's interesting. Like, his most immature antics.
He's not a politician. He's like, he fights
back.
Yeah,
he speaks his truth.
Yeah.
But, like, it's literally, I mean, I just compare it to, like, a parent at a soccer game when, like, someone scores a goal on their kid. They go out and, like, shove the kid. Like, really? You're a grown adult and you're going out and, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, you're the president of the United States and you feel the need to respond to some ambassador who thinks you're inept?
Yeah.
Well, you know who's really going to have to respond for his actions is Jeffrey Epstein. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about Sam Alexander Acosta and the calls for him to step down or resign. And the new information that is being, there's a new victim who's come forward in the Jeffrey Epstein case. We'll talk about that and what all is going to come of it when we come back from the break with Sam Bagheera-Pate.
Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Okay, so I'm going to try to set up the story the best I can. Now, we're here with Sam Bagheera-Pate from Equality California, and we're trying to unravel the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. So he is a sex offender for the crimes that he committed. I believe it was in the early 2000s with a sort of sex ring that he had, molesting dozens of teenage girls, some as young as 14 years old. In fact, there is a new victim who came forward, a girl who was attending a performing arts high school right near his New York City apartment. I guess a secretary or some kind of recruiter basically befriended this young girl and told her this is a really good guy, you should come over here. They hung out a couple times and then she began massaging him. He would, you know, I guess masturbate during those massages, and then inevitably he raped her in her last visit and she never returned, and she dropped out of school because it was too near her house. This is what she's alleging. But the man who gave him a sweetheart deal and got him off the hook, Michaela and I were talking about this yesterday, is Sam Alexander Acosta. So, Samuel, where does this stand at, right?
Alex Acosta.
That's right, Alex. This is, I'm really reading his name Sam Alex because Sam is here to talk about that. That's how I wrote it.
Don't confuse me with Alex Acosta.
Sorry. So, Alex Acosta.
Be real clear.
He is the sitting, what is he, the sitting?
He's the Secretary of Labor for President Trump.
Right.
He was previously a U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Florida.
And he's standing by his decision when it came to Jeffrey Epstein's earlier case back in the day.
So what happened? Right. So yes, this first came to light in the early 2000s and then has progressed and continued to this day. That is why Jeffrey Epstein is now under fire and has been arrested and arraigned and all that, and charged with the same crimes, basically, that just continued once he, after the sweetheart deal. So what happened was, There was a big FBI investigation that it, yes, there is this new accuser who's detailing her story, but this is this is the same exact account that hundreds and hundreds of women have given of when they were young girls,
right.
You know, basically ages 12 to 16,
wow.
Where they, he would lure them in. He would employ recruiters who are the same age to go to parties. All of this is incredibly well documented. It's been investigated by the FBI over years. So he was, they had first charged him, federal prosecutors down in Florida, in South Florida, led by Alex Acosta, who was at the time the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. They, after the FBI investigation, they had charged him with sex trafficking and all these other crimes. And then all of a sudden, as this FBI investigation is still going on into who his other co-conspirators would be, right? Because it wasn't just him. Like, he would have parties with his rich and powerful friends.
Yeah, there was a black book that they found that had like 400 right. numbers of political people.
Right. Of people who had come to these parties and engage in sexual acts with these young girls. All of a sudden, the entire FBI investigation stops. And there's a plea agreement that was reached between Alex Acosta, who is at the time the U.S. attorney overseeing the case, and Jeffrey Epstein's prominent defense attorney, who had met at a hotel and worked out this deal that basically shut down the entire investigation. It's called a non-prosecution agreement, where under the agreement, Jeffrey Epstein would not be prosecuted by federal prosecutors, and none of his potential co-conspirators would be either.
Wow.
So not just the people they knew about, but anyone else connected would be. And the reason that this is, I mean, first of all, that's insane, right? And they basically,
they let that happen,
they
Sam?
Justified it saying that he, under the agreement, he would have to plead guilty to state charges for those same crimes under, you know, Florida charges. And he would have to go serve, I think it was something like 13 months in yeah. county jail. And so he would do that, but then he would have to pay restitution to his victims, but nothing else. And what made this deal, I mean, the deal is on its face, like, inexcusable and disgusting to agree to not prosecute someone
right.
for such horrific crimes. But then what made it illegal is that under federal law, prosecutors have to notify victims of sex crimes before they reach any sort of deal with the perpetrator.
Got it.
Alex and Acosta did not notify
any of the victims
until after they had reached the deal. The deal had been signed and had been approved by the judge. Only then did these young girls who had been raped by Jeffrey Epstein find out about it. So that's, I mean, it's not just disgusting to reach that sort of deal. It's illegal.
But this new accuser, because it didn't happen in Florida, it's bringing up essentially a new case against him in New York now, right? Sort of?
Yeah, not just this new accuser, but yes. So what happened in the years since, after Alex Acosta reached this deal, a judge re-examined this plea agreement and ended up declaring that it was illegal, throwing it out, basically saying, no, you violated the law by not notifying the victims. Therefore, this non-prosecution agreement that you reached is invalid because you broke the law in reaching it.
Right.
So threw that out, which cleared the way for federal prosecutors to once again begin investigating him, which ultimately led in the Southern District of New York, because remember, this guy is a multi-millionaire hedge fund manager, has houses in New York, has an island that he owns in the Caribbean, has this house in Palm Beach. So he's got houses all over where he's been doing this, mm-hmm. including in New York. So the Southern District of New York is like, all right, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
They begin investigating and ultimately, just on Monday, unsealed an indictment and arrested Jeffrey Epstein, and charged him with basically all the same crimes, because after he got out of jail, because of that sweetheart deal, he started doing all of this over again.
Of course. Gosh.
So Alex Acosta, who currently serves as Secretary of Labor to Donald Trump, reached this sweetheart deal, which paved the way for him to serve this short jail sentence, come back out, and then raping more girls. Confronted with these allegations, Donald Trump in February was basically like, you know, because even though this just came out, this has been a case that everyone knew about. Everyone knew about this non-prosecution agreement going back long before Alex Acosta was appointed labor secretary. Confronted with these allegations, Donald Trump was like, well, he's doing a fantastic job as labor secretary.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Trump.
And he's tried to also say that Alex was not the the only one to make that decision. Like, he's trying to deflect off Alex Acosta, saying multiple people made the decision to
Right, multiple
Jeffrey
people who worked
go.
For Alex Acosta, because Alex Acosta was the right. U.S. attorney Jeez. Overseeing that office and is the one who signed off on the deal. So, look, I mean, it remains to be seen. We know that people in this administration have done many, many, many awful things and not faced the music and had to resign. So it remains to be seen if this will do him in. I think ultimately, you know, Trump hits a point where, good or bad, he doesn't like the spotlight being on someone other than him. And so I think as long as people continue to keep up the attention on this, keep up the pressure, there may come a time where he's forced to step down. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, Samuel, thank you so much for your time. Never enough time with you. Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California. Thanks for joining us. Coming up, again, we still have Plastique TR we're going to be chatting with and Grace and Chance.
Yeah, we'll be joined with Grace and Chance to talk about the performances that he's doing. He's also going on a tour. So stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, it's San Diego Pride this weekend. I'm going to be hosting the Deep Party for Impulse San Diego tomorrow night. I would tell you to come, but unfortunately, the tickets are sold out. But the weekend, still much availability to come enjoy San Diego Pride. I'll be hosting on the Stonewall Pride stage for the all the great acts, including King Princess, Grace and Chance, who'll be joining us a little later, as well as Melissa Etheridge. Huh. That's so exciting. I'm so stoked. I love Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah. Listen, Melissa Etheridge taught me that you could go to any girl's window and it wouldn't be creepy.
I feel like that explains a lot of your life. It really does.
Melissa Etheridge taught me so much, and that's probably why Lisa hasn't been home in 9 days.
Well, later in this hour, you're going to want to keep it locked on the Morning Beat here on Channel Q, because Grace and Chance will be joining us. We'll be talking about his upcoming appearance in San Diego, his tour, and all the other things he's got going on, including his new album, Portraits, which is out now. Portraits, you want to get that. And then in our final hour, Plastique Tiara. But even coming up later in this hour, we're going to be talking about a new dating app that has acquired another dating app that was in a lot of peril and is surrounded by controversy, as well as Lady Gaga is peddling some new merch. I'm not sure you guys are going to be here for it. We have mixed thoughts on what she's trying to push now, but we'll get to that after the news. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, President Trump has vowed to get a citizenship question on next year's census form, despite a Supreme Court decision last month that blocked the move. To aid that effort, the Justice Department wanted to swap out its legal team that was working on this, but a federal judge rejected that, saying the administration didn't provide any reasons that would justify such a move. Requests for legal team changes in civil cases are almost always allowed, making the judge's ruling even more surprising in the case. Attorney General William Barr said the administration would decide this week on a course of action to get the question on the census, including a possible executive order. Civil rights groups argue that including it will scare off legal immigrants as well as undocumented migrants, leading to an inaccurate population count. All right, guys, it hasn't dominated the headlines, but there's a major Ebola outbreak going on right now in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So far, it's killed 1,630 people, according to the World Health Organization, making it the second biggest Ebola outbreak in history. But there is some good news in the fight against the deadly disease. Two experimental drugs have been found effective in treating the strain of the virus in this particular outbreak, according to new research published yesterday. The drugs are now being tested in clinical trials, and officials hope viable treatments come from the research soon. All right, the mother monster is expanding her empire again. Personally, I have a huge opinion on this. Lady Gaga just revealed that she's launching a beauty brand called House Laboratories. To announce the news, the star, who for the record was born, uploaded a promotional video to YouTube and shared it on all of her social media channels. The last thing the world needs is another beauty brand, says Gaga accurately, but that's too bad. The promo, which features music produced by past Gaga collaborators Blood Pop and Chami, stars the entertainer herself dancing under a blue light. She's then joined by a bunch of many gendered hotties wearing what I can only assume is a House Laboratories product. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Gaga continues, but at House Laboratories, we say beauty is how you see yourself, your glam, your expression, your artistry. We want you to love yourself, our house, your rules. According to this tweet Gaga posted on Tuesday, announcing her beauty brand's impending launch, House Laboratories will be available for pre-order on July 15th at houselabs.com. And we'll discuss more about this later on in the hour. But I do want to remind you guys that if you're looking to go to an amazing concert, Charlie XCX, who we play on this station, will be at the Wiltern in Los Angeles. So you want to make sure you get a chance to win your tickets. Just head on over to wearechannelq.com so you get the opportunity to do that. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, there's a new app that has taken over an old app and they've combined forces. But is this a good thing? We'll find out next.
Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, it is hump day. Do you engage in the hump day activities? Do you post a hump day picture? Do you make reference of it?
I do nothing for hump day. Mm. It literally means nothing to me. And I'm going to try to make it hump day tonight if Lisa finally comes home.
Yeah.
That's how I will
be
celebrating.
Well, for those who are single, they might have to lean into using an app to get a hump day action moment to happen. And some of the more popular ones are things that everyone's heard of, like perhaps Scruff or Grindr. There's a lesser known, and frankly, based on my research, a lesser used one called Jacked. Now, I did look in the App Store to see, kind of, you know, find out as much as I could. Have you heard of this app?
Not Jacked. Here's the thing, though.
Jacked.
I have to say this for myself and maybe other lesbians. I don't use any dating apps because I'm with Lisa, but the only other dating apps I feel like are for women are like Tinder. I think
so.
We
lesbians
have
can
a,
use Tinder.
I think lesbians can use Tinder.
Yeah, and I think OkCupid because there's a marketing campaign right now with two girls.
Oh, OkCupid. Cute.
So, but Jacked apparently they're saying is the most diverse and authentic app for gay, bi, and curious guys to connect, chat, share, and meet. However, Jacked got in big trouble for leaking photos of their users. And when I checked to see how people enjoy the app, out of 5 stars, what do you think their rating is?
Well, I'd never even heard of them, so probably a 2.
Very close, 1.5.
Was it a 1.5?
Out of all the reviews, which is about 5,000 reviews, they have 1.5 is the average review they got.
Wow.
People do not like this app, but... You know, Johnny, our friend to the show, who is the owner and co-creator of Scruff, the very popular app, he just acquired it. So do you think that if you have a successful brand and you buy something that's failing, that your successful brand will then help this one out? Or do you think that they should just merge the two?
Merging the two? Are they going to have
it says
Scruff and then Jacked?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, basically, the company Jacked was under a lot of scrutiny for the leaked photos. But basically, they're saying they acquired Jacked. And so I don't know if that means that they're going to try to own it the way Atlantis does with RSVP vacations. Atlantis is a gay vacation company and they bought RSVP. They keep them separate to keep them like to make you think RSVP is one thing, Atlantis is another, and they do offer two different things. But in this instance, I'm not sure because they just say that they acquired it.
Well, I think what might happen is it does say that there's plans to redesign the app from the ground up and then enhancing the controls
so they're gonna
over
make
their
it
privacy.
Better.
So they're going to fix it up and then they'll have them be two separate apps.
Because, I don't know why you'd... If you're an app... Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking about this right. But I guess if you already have something so successful like Scruff, why would you buy something that's not doing great? Or maybe because it's a monthly fee that people pay to have it. And if you fix it and they had a bad experience for whatever on Scruff,
yeah,
it gives them an option.
Or you can make it a little different. Have Scruff be something and have Jack be something, but have options for men to be able to go on, be gay or bisexual.
Do you know what I want? I want video greetings.
Oh.
I don't want you to be able to doctor your picture because I don't know. And I want it to say when you uploaded it.
So I'm not looking at a picture of you from 1987 in your backyard when you were like all like...
Does that happen a lot?
Yes. People use screen grabs of screen grabs of screen grabs.
Honestly, I would like to bring people on and interview people that have gone on terrible social media dates. Like they showed up and it was not even, they don't even recognize the
person. My friend's roommate had a gentleman caller over that he met from an app and they were going to have to walk through the living room. And he was like, I'm so sorry to do this, but... And I was like, I'm fine. I'm like, you guys are just going to go on to another side of the house. I don't care. It's fine. You know, we're here. And I was like, okay. The guy shows up at the door and he's like, hi. He's like, are you John? He's like, yeah. I'm sorry. This is not going to work. He looked nothing like his picture.
Oh my God.
There we are.
And said, no, this isn't going to
work. I am on the couch minding my own business, having a nice little Aperol spritz, watching Golden Girls with my friend. And I hear at the door in the distance, you're John. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. This is not going to work.
Oh my God.
You don't look like your picture, he said to his face.
That's, well, you know what? First of all, he saved a lot of time for that, both of them. And maybe it's a good lesson. Like, if you don't show up looking like your photo, you shouldn't be showing up anywhere. Because that's the worst.
Yeah.
Getting catfished with your own photo from 20 years ago is awful.
Do you want to know? Do you know what people say? Let me tell you this. Do you have another photo? Because, you know, your picture's a little grainy on my end. Oh, no, those are the only ones I have. Okay, great. Can you give me a social media? I don't use social media. You're 24 and you don't use social media? Nope. Interesting. All right, I want you to do this. Take a picture of yourself right now holding one finger up. My camera on my phone is broken.
Oh, my God.
Michaela, my favorite thing to do is clock catfish people online because their excuses are always the same.
Right.
And in this modern day, I'm sorry, even a Cricket Wireless has a camera on that phone.
Have you ever catfished, yes or no?
No.
You never have?
No. I will tell you this. When I was in the high school, I don't need to. I'm gorgeous.
I do.
In the high school mall, there was a phone, a payphone that would ring. And it was there was a guy who wanted to have dirty phone calls. But my voice was a little higher when I was like 16. He thought I was a girl. He's like, oh, you sound pretty. What's your name, lady? And then I was like,
Heather.
And he was like, Heather, what are you wearing? I was like, I just got back from school. So I'm just like a little tennis skirt. It's like really hot. And then like I ended up like having this full conversation with this guy. So I guess in that instance I was catfishing more out of curiosity.
I catfished. When I was younger, when there was AOL Messenger, you could still send photos.
Uh-huh. And you would send.
And I was so young. Uh-huh. And so I sent some random photo of some blonde. Because if I sent my own photo, I would have gotten in trouble. Also 12.
Meanwhile, your screen name was Michaela Gordon 2000.
I hadn't been on Idol yet. Nobody knew.
Great.
I was a kid. I was sending a blonde. I wanted to be a blonde.
And
when
what
I was
would
younger.
You, when you sent this photo, you were like, this is
I
me.
I said ASL, age, sex, location. This is me.
And then after that, what would happen?
They'd be like, you're hot. And I'd be like, thanks. Oh
and
my
then,
gosh.
Then what happened?
My dad would come in and pick it off the computer. And I'd be like, okay, gotta go. Bye. I'm gonna go. My boyfriend's calling me.
Well, good luck to you, Jack. I don't know if being acquired by Scruff will help, but maybe. And if you end up being, you know, turning things around and you end up being a successful app, maybe even I will download you.
That's right. All right, guys, well, coming up, the Mother Monster has a new product that will either make you very excited or make you question her entire career. We'll talk about it next.
Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Now, let me just tell you something. I've got a little tie to, actually a pretty big tie to Stephanie Gaga. Back in my New York days, I was doing 8 shows a week in a Broadway musical, Rent, and I just got bored, so I would create my own club night, and I would sing at all these different clubs, specifically XL, but every now and again, this place called Starlight, I would go to and hear different singers, and she'd perform there. This is before she was Lady Gaga. And then did telephone with her, and I've had an affinity for Lady Gaga, especially how she did a lot of music that really spoke up for the community, and she's been an advocate for LGBTQ+ folks. But now she's done something that I think has both of us feeling a certain way. You like makeup, right?
I love makeup.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
I do too.
But here's one thing about me. I'm not a makeup collector. I know what I like on my face.
Yeah.
I use like one product or two products that I always use because I know it works.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not like a collector of makeup.
You don't need to like own every palette by every new influencer that's on the market.
Absolutely not. Because let me tell you something. It works the same as the other palette. Red eyeshadow is going to be red eyeshadow in another palette. It doesn't matter who the maker is.
I actually am learning this lesson right now.
You overdid it.
I bought Kim Kardashian West's palette for Black Friday because I didn't buy anything. And it was like a special on my Instagram. I bought it, really liked it.
Yeah.
Then I looked at the Anastasia Beverly Hills thinking, oh, that's going to be better because that's the highlight. That's where the beams came from.
Right.
Anastasia Beverly Hills, Anastasia. I put it side by side. It's the same exact thing.
Same. Now listen, I'm not a makeup artist and I'm not a YouTube influencer.
Neither am I.
So that's also why I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it
not
doesn't
that invested.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Gets the
to
job
me.
Done for
yes.
what I have. Well, Lady Gaga released we're gonna play the audio because I don't want to give it away. She released this, it's a commercial, it's on her Instagram, but it pretty much spells it out with just the audio. So have a listen.
The last thing the world needs is another beauty brand. But that's too bad. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But at House Laboratories, we say beauty's how you see yourself. Your glam. Your expression. Your artistry.
This
we
is.
Want you
oh,
to
just
love yourself.
Okay, what else do you want there?
Our house.
Uh-huh.
Your rules.
Oh. Nice. Open-minded.
Yeah.
House Laboratories. Battle for your life.
Okay, battle for your life. House Laboratories.
Why does she say there's a lot of makeup brands? Too bad.
The last There's thing the more. World needs is another makeup. I'm like...
This is literally a scene from Zoolander 1. Did you ever see Zoolander?
Yes.
This is totally one of those commercials that he like does before he has to start doing the coal mining.
Let me ask you a question, though. When you looked at it visually, because I know you actually saw it too, right?
Yeah.
Did you think the makeup looked spectacular?
No, it looks like glitter that we put on for gay pride.
It just didn't look... To me, tasteful or... And mind you, it might just be very avant-garde runway for the commercial and actually it's cute, but I don't know. I mean, I guess the question is, if because it's Gaga, will it sell?
Here's the thing. It'll probably sell because it's Gaga, but here's what I would have liked more. I think people saw how big Rihanna got with her $3 billion Fenty makeup
company.
But I
heard that Fenty actually is good. People like it.
People like Fenty. I personally don't like the foundation. I think it's terrible.
Okay.
But I think people saw that model and they were like, this is kind of good. Let's all do it. And then Kylie Jenner came out with the lip kit. Now
and
she's doing
she's a billionaire.
So now everyone's like, here's how you become a billionaire. But Gaga's not in that lane with any of those women. What I think would have been cooler is she looked at her makeup artist, who she's been using forever, and she mm-hmm. said, why don't you start a makeup line?
Right.
I'll invest the money. I'll be like a quiet investor, make my money off of it, and you take the shine.
Yeah.
Keep it away from her brand. Because that doesn't make sense to Gaga's brand to me. What's she going to do next? Even, come out with a clothing
I
line?
I actually don't know Gaga's brand anymore, and I don't necessarily know that it has to be one thing, but I guess because even her residency in Las Vegas is twofold. She's got the intimate jazz thing she does, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she has the more pomp and circumstance pop star thing that she does, the residency.
I just mean brand as in there's nothing cheesy about Gaga.
Right.
I mean, she's an artist.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to put out glitter shadow. Right? Like, that's weird to me.
I think I also want to see the palettes. I want to see, like, what if it's really just, like, what if there's some kind of roll-on eyeliner that you're like, this is, like, the best eyeliner I've ever seen. I guess if it was something innovative, I'd be like, ooh, that's cool. It's different. I've never
yeah,
seen that.
Right.
But it does sound like, and it does feel like she's acknowledging it's exactly what you already have, what you bought from a couple other pop stars, and here's my version
too. That's what I'm saying. When you have to put in the intro, we don't need any more beauty brands, but that's too bad. Gaga, House Laboratories.
You know J-Lo like, has her own line too, right?
Oh my God, don't. Okay,
J-Lo has a line. I mean...
Everybody. But also, is Beyonce ever going to come out with a line? Absolutely not. Beyonce wouldn't do that.
Huh?
What is that?
Mama said, you're pretty girl. No. What's in your hair? That's all that matters. No.
Would the makeup line be called Pretty Hurts? Is that what you're
yeah,
referencing?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's our whole line.
Would there be shadow called lemonade?
No, it's stuff that we haven't tested on anything yet. So if you put it on, you're the tester. And every dollar goes to save monkeys who are in labs.
That is so dumb. Cruelty free, because we've never tried it on
anybody.
And
every time you open one of their lipsticks, all it does is go, ha.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon. And this weekend, I'm going to be in San Diego hosting the main stage, the Stonewall Pride Stage. San Diego Pride. You know, Pride season is in full effect, and many people think it's just in June, but no. It's actually all summer long in all different markets, and I think it continues on to the fall where we finish at 103.1 FM Palm Springs Pride. I think it happens in like October-ish, November.
If you're a real gay, it's all year long,
That's right.
Pride all year.
And you know who I'm really proud of? This Grayson Chance. We play him on the station, but I just watched his growth as a young kid. When I saw him on Ellen, I just thought he was fantastic. And he just honestly is one of those people that I just really truly admire.
Yeah. Well, we have him actually on the line. I'm choking.
Yeah, because he's actually performing in San Diego Pride, but he's got a new album out. So welcome to The Morning Beat, Grayson Chance.
Oh, Jay, you're making me blush over here.
Okay,
now
let me fangirl for a minute. So you were at the Channel Q Coachella house, and I don't get like this. I've been in the business a gazillion years. And so I remember when I was coming up, I did Rant on Broadway 5 years. I get Queer Eye, and I get this record deal like with a major label. And they were kind of like, they didn't know what to do with me because I was out already. And they were like, well, we can't do like the whole Girls Will Scream for You thing. And so when I saw you come out, and obviously was already a big fan of your music, I was just so in awe, and you were at the Channel Q house. I couldn't say hi to you. I like got all fangirl weird, and I was like, I'm just gonna stay over here. But I just really admire your journey and your music, and I think you're such an inspiration for this new generation.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, when I see you in San Diego, you have to come say hello. Okay?
I would love a selfie. I'm actually introducing. I'm introducing all the artists, including Melissa Etheridge, this weekend on the main stage. So I'll definitely see you backstage. Now that you are touring basically the world, you have the world tour with your new album Portraits. Are you excited? Do you get anxious before you go out on stage, especially some of these larger stages where it's just thousands of people?
I think, we were really fortunate. We played a lot of Pride shows in June. Yeah. And it was really exciting for me to have this San Diego gig here in July. Just as you were mentioning earlier, you know, it's good to continue on Pride season and to keep it going on. And I'm just most excited to see another festival, go out and meet another community. And so, I'm not too nervous. I'm just more excited. I've been off stage now for like 2 weeks and I need to get back. I have the itch again.
Yeah.
We know that. Yeah.
Well, if you guys are just tuning in, we are talking to Starlight, Grayson Chance, and a friend of ours here at Channel Q. Now, you're touring, but tell us about your album Portraits. Why did you name it? What is it about? Talk to us about the inspiration.
Yeah, well, I've actually, next year will be my 10th year formally in music. So I started off when I was 12 years old with my first record deal. And
I love that your story is like, at 12 years old, I was already touring the world and I was already having, I'm like, at 12, I was like trying to figure out how to make cereal and going to school on time.
a bit, right? It's a little crazy. And so I've been in the industry for a long time, and this record was sort of my redemption statement back to show people that I felt like I could still write another chapter in my career.
Yeah.
And after taking some time off too, I came back to write the album, and it's a body of work that I'm extremely proud of. And I think it's really, to me, it's my debut record as an adult and as a songwriter and a musician. Even though there's music out there in the past, this feels kind of like my first statement piece.
100%. So Grayson, when you are actually on the road and you're away from home, do you take anything with you to kind of make the hotel rooms or your bus, wherever you stay, a little bit more homey? Like, what are the things you kind of miss, and what do you bring with you to kind of make you feel a little bit more grounded or whatever?
Yeah, I'm from Oklahoma, so usually I just have a case of Jack Daniels with me at all times.
Oh, my gosh. I will see if I can get some Jack backstage, and maybe I'll do a little shot with you after you're done.
I have a few little trinkets where every green room that I go to on tour, I kind of take a few little different things out of my bag, little things I've collected. Like, my grandpa, like, whittles a lot, so mm-hmm. I have a few of his pieces. Aww. And just little family heirloom things that kind of give me a sense of home.
That's right. So sweet. Well, let's talk about the places that you're going. Now, tomorrow night, you're going to be at in Seattle. That's 103.3 and 107.7 HD2. And where can people, do they need to get tickets or how do they get to see you?
In Seattle, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're doing Seattle and Vancouver and San Diego this weekend, but Seattle and Vancouver are sold out. So
no, I was just
a ticket.
I'm hosting an event Thursday, and I was like, I'd tell you to come, but it's sold out. That's a good thing.
Yes, the show is sold out, so it's a great problem to have always. But I'm so excited. I haven't played in these markets probably in at least 5 or 6 years, so I can't wait to.
Now you're like a grown man.
Grown up.
It's so different.
Yeah.
Like you can drink, you're a grown up. I don't know if you post about your personal life, but are you seeing someone and can you even date when you're touring?
I'm currently very single and very alone and very bad at the boy race at the moment.
Right.
So, well, if you need some help, Scruff is now acquired Jacked, and so you can have two different apps if you're looking for it.
We were talking about dating apps earlier. Well, Grace, that's what I was wondering. I was like, I wonder what the shape of dating is when you are a pop star in this great space of music and with social media, if it's tricky dating for you.
You know, I have to say, I don't think it's necessarily tricky for me right now because of my job. I think it's tricky right now because I can't seem to find a good man. I'm sick of these uncommittal boys.
Oh my. I think you just answered your own question. Annoying. You might need to start dating men and get rid of the boys.
Yeah. Well, Jay's single.
Well, Grayson, I can't wait to see you this weekend. Have an incredible show in Seattle, Vancouver. And of course, I'll see you Saturday night to the main stage in San Diego for Pride.
And where we play at Channel Q, you can find him in D.C., New York, Boston, Kansas City, Denver, and more.
Yeah, visit GraysonChanceMusic.com for more information. Right. Well, we love you here, Grayson. I'll see you this weekend.
Guys, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You
thanks,
too.
Doll.
Bye.
Bye.
He sounds so sexy. I can't even stand it.
He kind of does. He sounds like that country singer who says, gonna lock the doors and turn your lights down low.
He's just such
You know what song I'm talking about?
Listen, it's so weird because I follow him on social media. It is weird because, like you said, his career started when he was 12.
Yeah.
12 years old, you know, so it's so weird because he is such a young, you know, he's a grown-up now. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see him this weekend. I know San Diego is just thrilled. Speaking of stars, who do we have next hour?
I'm so excited. My girl from season 11, RuPaul's Drag Race, Plastique Tierra.
What do you want to know about her, by the way?
Why is she more beautiful than me, and how do I even ever try to level up?
I want to know what life is like year one out of the show. Like, does your whole life change overnight? And how much planning does it take? You know, it must be weird for her to go to a gay bar before Drag Race and then to go to one after Drag Race.
Absolutely.
Weird. I want to ask.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask. So stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
In Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Michaela, did I tell you what I bought?
No.
And it's literally just, I just got a notification that it is being shipped to me.
What?
What is something that I have a lot of in my home that's animal related?
Fish.
Yes. So there's this very exotic.
Did you ordered a fish?
Off eBay. Yeah. Live. Yeah, you can send them. So it's a live betta fish, but it's this, it's a copper marble mustard half moon betta. It's this yellow, and they usually don't come in these colors. So I wanted this one.
Wait, you can go to eBay and put in.
And there's breeders, who specifically breed different types of exotic fishes, or
And then how do they send them in, like a tank or?
The same way they would to the pet store. So it would come in like an aerated kind of plastic thing that no matter where there's enough oxygen in there. So it's
For being a gay man, you really love fish.
I love a lot of fish, honey. But anyway, that being said, it's shipping today, which is making me nervous. It said it's supposed to arrive on Monday, but I think it's going to arrive earlier. So now I need to tell my roommate to make sure that the fish arrives like well.
Yeah, that's
and that
exciting.
He feeds it, and because it was not cheap, but it was something I wanted. It was not super expensive. I would, probably would have spent that on, two or three drinks. But
yeah, of course.
Do we have any indication? It's now Wednesday. It's 9 o'clock here in the West Coast, about just past noon on the East Coast. Do we know if Daddy Lisa, your girlfriend, is coming back today?
Okay, I told you guys that she gave me a 90% chance that she would be
What's
home.
The percentage
the 10%
now?
Chance is no, but I'm still waiting. She said, I'm waiting on beta. The breath. Do you see what I just did there?
See, wow. My dad jokes are rubbing off
okay,
on you.
Okay, honestly, and I hate myself for making that joke, but it just came out so good. But I think we're going to be good. I think she's coming home tonight. And then honestly, oh my God, I may not even come into work tomorrow because I may just need time to be with her.
Well, listen, if my beta fish doesn't show up, at least I'll have a little nice little sushi snack for later.
Okay. You know what? We've taken this show into a new place.
All right.
Honey.
Well, let's take it to a better place with some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
Well, our listeners in New York City on 92.3 HD3 made their way to Broadway as the U.S. Women's National Team's victory tour continued with a ticker tape parade in New York City this morning. The parade started at 9:30 a.m. from Battery Park and headed north along Broadway to City Hall, according to the mayor's office. Now, the mayor is also scheduled to honor the team at City Hall. The women's team were regaled in the same fashion as other heroes and winners known today as Sheroes, such as Nelson Mandela in 1990, the 1969 World Series champion Mets, and the New York Giants team that captured Super Bowl in 2008. Now, according to the Alliance for Downtown New York, a commercial advocacy, research, and information group. Now, the soccer team won its second consecutive FIFA Women's World Cup when it beat the Netherlands 2-0 on Sunday during the match in France. Megan Rapinoe scored a penalty goal in the second half, giving the team a 1-0 lead, and Rose Lavelle added a second score with a shot in the 69th minute. All right, guys, the trade war between the U.S. and China could hurt an unlikely victim, and his name is the Bible. Now, if the two countries can't hammer out a trade deal, President Trump has vowed to put tariffs on all Chinese goods coming into America. Book publishers warn those tariffs could cause the price of printing the Bible to soar and lead to potential shortages. Most U.S. publishers print the Bible in China to reduce costs. Now, HarperCollins Christian Publishing, a leading Bible publisher, has asked the administration to remove Bibles and other religious publications from the tariffs list. It's another reminder of the unintended consequences of the trade war, which has already badly hurt U.S. farmers. All right, well, Drag Race UK is ramping up the excitement for its debut later this year with the announcement of more guest judges. Amazing Spider-Man star Andrew Garfield and chewing gum creator Michaela Cole will appear as guest judges on RuPaul's Drag Race UK. The pair were announced as guest judges ahead of the launch of the British drag reality spinoff, which is set to make its debut on BBC Three in September. Now, Garfield has previously showcased his own lip-sync skills alongside Drag Race Queens on the 2017 Work the World Tour, channeling Whitney Houston for a guest performance. Other confirmed guest judges include Game of Thrones star Macy Williams, Jerry Horner of the Spice Girls, and Jade Thirlwall of Little Mix, while Graham Norton and Alan Carr will serve as judging panel regulars across the 8-part series. Now, we do want to remind you guys, you can head on over to wearechannelq.com to win tickets for Diana Ross's Diamond Diana concert at the Wynn. That's in Las Vegas. What's up, 94.1 HD2? It includes tickets, a 2-night hotel stay, and a $200 gas card. And actually, I know who the winners are now, and it's going to go to Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon, and we are really excited about it. I'm telling you, we give away such good prizes here. It's like my highlight
of
my day.
We were eligible. That would be so much fun.
I know. We love Diana. All right, you guys. Well, another goddess that we love is season 11 RuPaul Drag Race's Plastique Tierra. She will be joining us talking about her up-and-coming ventures and what it felt like to have Tyra Banks post her after she posted herself. It was a big deal. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So I'm thrilled to be hosting Deep, which is a great event happening tomorrow in San Diego for Impulse Group San Diego. What they do is they're an HIV advocacy group. And so they have things like where they have mobile testing outside of their events. And if you get tested or show that you got tested at your personal doctor's office, then you get entrance for free. And it's just a great group. They teach a lot about safer sex practices. And we're talking about me hosting this event for a couple months now. And then lo and behold, I find out one of my faves is going to be there performing Plastique Tierra. Michaela Gordon and I are obsessed with her performance and just overall her whole essence. So please welcome to the Morning Beat, Plastique Tierra.
Hi.
Hi, Mama.
Let me just tell you something.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
First of all, you anger me in every way because your Instagram is so beautiful. And let me say for the record, I've seen that beautiful face in person. There is no face tune, honey. She looks exactly like her photos. But then you just posted this gorgeous photo like 42 seconds ago, just of your body.
Just giving you full mask and taking care of that skin.
And we live for
face mask. Face mask.
You. So you're not going to be tomorrow night at Deep. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. I just found out it's Under the Sea theme, so I'm like trying to get my whole, like, you know, underwater merman situation going. I asked them, I was like, do I have to wear pants? They're like, no. I was like, great. See-through shorts
of
it is.
Not.
Right. So what? My question to you is,
sorry, doesn't require it.
So a year ago, how has your life changed in this past year? Because I can imagine when you go to events now, it's tricky. Everyone wants a piece of you.
Oh, girl, my life has turned a complete 180. Yeah. And it's a blessing because, well, it's a struggle and a blessing at the same time. You know, when you go to the airport at 5 in the morning and you got mascara still under your eyes, go from a gig.
Not you. That would never happen. That would never happen to you. Don't say that.
Right. No, but I still love it. But yeah, I make a lot of money now, so it's great.
Right? That's the cute piece.
Yeah, you stand a rich queen, honey.
We can buy things now.
I wanted to ask you this. You're so loving, and you're friends with my very best friend, Chester Lockhart, and he says hello. But
I love him.
In one of the episodes, you showed such a vulnerable side when you talked about your parents and your family to the point where Ru said, listen, I'm your mama now. So how does your relationship stand with RuPaul as of now?
Honestly, I never expected him to, you know, in the moment, I thought, you know, he heard the story a billion times already, you know, from fans coming up and countless of queens talking to him about how he's an inspiration. So for him, for someone like that of a status to, you know, embrace me in that moment, it was really cool. And I it was totally unexpected. It wasn't planned or anything. So for me, for someone like, for my idol, essentially, to kind of just embrace me in that sense.
Yeah, and
it was a dream come true for sure.
Speaking of mothers, you know, Alyssa Edwards, you come from the House of Edwards, and you were both featured in that epic Pepsi commercial. So what was that experience like? Because that commercial went across the world.
Yes. You know, I love Alyssa. She's one of the first person to ever tell me that I'm a star. So, and every time I see her, it's nothing but love, and we don't get to see each other so often as we did anymore because, you know, we're both traveling, we're busy business women.
Right.
So we're booked and busy, but,
blessed.
That was amazing because she made me feel so much more comfortable. And as we saw on the show, I'm not that great at improv. So having her there.
I don't know. I think you're pretty funny right now, honey. You're coming up with some good lines.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. But having her there, it just made things, you know, that much more comfortable. And yeah, and it was a joy to film.
Well, if you guys are
it was a 16-hour day.
Yeah.
Oh, the longest days. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are with Plastique Tierra. Now, you're going to be at the event tomorrow night performing.
Yeah,
are you going to be bringing your beautiful lover that we also see on Instagram?
Of course, my boyfriend Timmy, who stirred up all the drama when he was on when he was on RuPaul Drag Race, even for just 30 seconds. No, he travels with me everywhere now. He kind of just, you know, helped me, and I can do drag. I cannot do drag without him. So
when you travel, is there anything that's outside from your makeup and your costumes? Is there anything that you bring from home that makes, you know, hotel rooms or places a little bit more homey? Is there something that you have to have with you to remind you of home?
Essentially, I don't get to stay in the hotel. That often is more of like a checking in at 3 p.m., getting ready, and then leaving at 5 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
But, yeah, we always, you know, we always bring like a candle too.
Yeah.
Even though we can't light it, it's just good to like put it there and be like, because my boyfriend loves candles, I love candles too.
Aww.
So it just adds like a personal touch to even though to like a remote room somewhere in, you know, Mississippi.
Right.
Well, Plastique Tierra, where can people find you? And do you have anything coming up soon that we can all anticipate? Because we're all waiting to see more of you.
Oh my gosh, I have so many things going on. I'm going to be on Tuesday 11 tour, and then me and Evie are going on our Pretty Weird tour.
Yes.
And then I'm going to be on Work the World later on, the full tour.
Oh my gosh.
September and October, and then I'll be on Work the World Asia next year as well.
Yes!
And then I just shot at... Oh, I'm sorry, my alarm just rang. Jesus Christ.
Okay. If you guys are just tuning in, we are with Plastique Tierra from season 11's RuPaul Drag Race, talking about her performance tomorrow night and what she has coming up. I think that's incredible that you and Evie are doing a tour together. That's so interesting because you two are actually my favorites, besides my love Soju, of course.
Oh, thank you. No, Evie is one of those queens that I grew to love after her season, because during the season she was so competitive, so I was so scared of her. But now I love her. She's just so real, and I'm so glad that she's the winner and she brought something totally new.
Well, Plastique, we love you here on The Morning Beat. You have a home here with us whenever you want to come on and talk about whatever. Lifeinplastique.com is her website. You can find out her calendar. You can buy some merch there. All about Plastique Tierra. Life in Plastique. Plastique, I'll see you tomorrow night. Love you.
Thank you, my love.
All right, honey. Bye. Love you.
I love you, Plastique. Bye, mama. All right, stick around. We are the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
We're just having a chat about Alicia Silverstone. She's now like a very holistic... She loves organic food. She's got her own organic nutrition line.
It's a little Saturday Night Live. When she does some of those videos.
Oh, they're not professionally produced, but her line of stuff is good. Anyway, she's like in Bali or something with her son Bear, and she's doing yoga and all that stuff. But she recently, she played the Hilton. What's the girl from Beverly Hills Housewives from the Hilton franchise?
Paris Hilton?
The aunt.
Oh, she played Kathy Hilton, the mother of Kathy.
Correct. And
Hilton,
the sister, yes.
And the two sisters.
And it was an incredible series on TNT, and Alicia Silverstone was the
bitch. That's right, American Woman.
That's the one. I actually really enjoyed it. She was quite good in it. It was the most recent. Yeah, it was oddly good. Ran one season, whatever. She was fine in it. It is what it is. But if you love her, you're supporting her. So a lot of people love Beyonce. Jared, welcome. Sorry. Jared is here with us from Drop the Subject with Ali. Ali will be joining us in a moment because they're going to be with you guys for the next few hours after Mikhail and I go. So Beyonce was quite a stunner on the red carpet last night for the Lion King premiere.
Yes, yes.
Did you like the outfit, be honest?
I liked the upper part of it. I didn't need the dress part of it at the bottom.
We thought that it kind of was a little like something like a Jersey Housewives wears to like be the mother of the bride.
Really? Okay. I thought, okay, this is a kid's movie, or like it's the Lion King, so like she can't be too sexy. I thought like if she didn't have like the black sheer part at the bottom, I would have been much more into
it.
And I wasn't like in love with the hair.
I wanted a mane. You're not Nala.
A lot of people went color. Yeah. A lot of people went black. Silver was a popular one on the carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
But that being said, Beyonce dropped a song from the movie. We've got a little audio of it. We're going to play it and then just have a little chat about it. It's the first time I'm hearing it. Additional song. Do you think that that's in the movie or is that just supplementary?
When I heard it, I was like, oh, this sounds like a really good credit song.
It might be the credits.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that'd be very hard for like an animatronic or cartoon, actual live looking
like Nala
lion
standing atop Pride Rock
to try to match. Yeah, right. Yeah. To match all the Allie, welcome. She just snuck in to try to match the lips for all those riffs and runs. I don't know if a lion could handle it.
I don't know if they could get the jaw
right
up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep thinking like it's gonna be interesting. The Lion King like is Donald Glover. The Simba and Nala are Donald Glover and Beyonce. And I'm
so
like,
good.
Nala has become a Texas Bama. Like it's
yes. She actually does have hot sauce in her paw.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the clip, she's like, Simba, you have to come back and be king. And the way she speaks, I'm like, oh, that is so Houston.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. Like, I'm excited to see it. I'm actually going to a screening tonight.
Oh, fun.
To see The Lion King. And I feel like a bad bitch because I'm doing it.
Yeah, so. You yes. should feel like a bad bitch.
So, well, not as bad because I wasn't there last night, but whatever.
Right. Well, what are you guys going to be chatting about for Drop the Subject today?
Well, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be talking about the Women's World Cup and all the stuff that's been going on with that.
Do you have any connection to soccer as a lesbian? Because Michaela did, and we were wondering if it's truly just all lesbians' rite of passage.
No, I go to smaller balls. I'm more of a softball girl. But so I think soccer, to some degree, has to be in my blood.
Right.
Yeah. It's just got to be in my DNA.
Did you watch the game and everything? Were you invested?
No. Well, I mean, it's always at weird times. So I'm like, I feel like I never know when it's happening. And then it's like, they won. I'm like, what? What? Can I get like an Apple update? They update me about everything else. So I think I want to get more into it. It also happens every 4 years. So I'm like, oh, when is this happening? You know what I mean? But I get excited about the Olympics. So I should get excited about women's soccer.
In 4 years, Apple will personally call you and be like, Allie, it's time to go to the bar.
Is this you, Siri? Okay, let's watch it together.
With a voice that sounds like a human being.
Yeah, right?
We also going to have to talk about the episode of Pose last night that everyone was like,
I haven't seen it. And so we skipped over, but I know that someone did leave the cast.
Well, so like, yeah, I will do my best to not give any spoilers, but my face was soaking wet like halfway through the episode and then to the end.
But I knew they had to tackle hard topics at that time. You know, we talk about a lot that the life expectancy, even now, of trans women of color isn't very long, 35, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
And then finally,
it's ridiculous. And I think we'll get into the details of that. And then I was just on recently on a podcast with Van Lathan, who you may know from TMZ Live. And I've caught all kinds of hatred in the last day talking about being black and gay and the intersection of that space. And so the Instagram has been lit.
Ooh.
Really?
So yeah, we'll be talking about that.
That's so interesting. Well, we'll be tuning in. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to us. We're done here at The Morning Beat, but we have a great show for you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Drop the Subject with Allie and Jarrett, and we'll see you later. Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.